Hi, listener. I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the one and only English language Atletico Madrid podcast. My guest on this edition of the program is Rob Walker. We're doing things a bit differently here tonight, a two-part podcast. Part one, available to all listeners, is a recap and corresponding analysis of Atletico Madrid's 1-0 home loss to Barcelona on Sunday night. Part 2, available only to Colchonero Chat amigos at patreon.com/colchonerochat. A bigger picture look at Atletico's season thus far, where it may be headed, and closing with a rumor roundup, talking about the latest transfer whispers centered on Atleti. Again, part 2, available exclusively at patreon.com/colchonerochat. Time now for part 1. Away we go. Well, is it really disappointing? I suppose it kind of is, but not unexpected what happened to Atletico against Barcelona on Sunday night. Where do we start with this one? Where would you like to start?
Another regularly scheduled defeat to Barcelona.
Yes, now back to your regularly scheduled programming of this really terrible week for Atletico. The draw at Granada, which was the worst result of these three. The loss at Juventus, and now this one, which you can put on the calendar every year as failing to beat Barcelona.
Yeah, and another one of those where play well for large spells of the match and then end up losing to Lionel Messi because, you know, that guy's pretty good.
Because that little twerp always scores against Atletico.
He tends to do us wrong. This one kind of sucks because there were a lot of chances to take the lead.
Yeah, that's a good place to start, is that Atletico actually played well. They did. This wasn't a terrible performance. I mean, Barcelona had over two-thirds the possession, but this was not a bad performance by, like, any means, particularly in the first half. Atletico didn't really have any of those periods where they just stopped attacking. They got tired at the end of the first half. There was some serious fatigue going on for the last, I'd say, 15, 20 minutes or so. Gerard Pique hit the crossbar from a corner. That was as close as Barcelona got. But Atletico got to the locker room in one piece. I think their longest period without a shot in this game was about 15 minutes between the 39th and 54th minutes. And there were no goals during that period. So it wasn't nearly as bad. It wasn't nearly as long a drought as we saw against Juve midweek.
True, yeah, and you did get the feeling, though, especially when those chances from Hermoso, the two from Hermoso and then the one from Morata, when those were saved or missed, you kind of had your hands on your heads thinking you knew what was going to happen. If you watched this team for long enough, you sort of knew that if they don't take those chances, it's not going to go well.
You just got to convert. It's been the story of the season, and it's in this fixture in particular, this and against Real Madrid. Those are usually the stories of those games. Atletico don't get outshot 30 to nothing. Like these aren't like football manager peltings. Atletico are in these games. These are competitive. They don't play badly. They show up in these games, and they get one or two chances. They don't go in, and you end up getting a draw or a loss. And yeah, you feel for Hermoso because this was his best game as an Atletico player. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
I thought he was excellent. And he's not the guy you want those chances falling to, but they did, and one of them clattered off the post. About 10, 15 minutes later, he had another one that Ter Stegen somehow saved. It was a marvelous ball from João Félix that found him, and Ter Stegen, who made two or three just ridiculous saves in this game, he kind of clawed that one away.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, especially the one from João Félix, you didn't want falling to Hermoso because he did kind of hit it somewhat at him. But if it had fallen to a strike, you would think you could have put it into the top corner or something like that. But
it was a little awkwardly hit, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't you know, it was a defender shot, but, you know, even still, it was a brilliant opportunity. And once that one missed, it was kind of a hands-on-head moment for me, at least. I was, yeah, that one gave me the stress. And, you know, it ended up coming to bite us in the ass at the end.
Yeah, and then you follow that up with Morata's header that, literally, it was like taking an ice cream scoop off the line is what Ter Stegen did with it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, at least I will say, at least it was an entertaining match.
It was,
And Atleti did well to contain Barcelona for most of it. I mean, obviously Messi's going to do Messi stuff, but Suarez was limited, Griezmann was limited. I think they both had two shots that scared me the whole match, Griezmann and Suarez. But beyond that, they were fairly contained.
Griezmann had that volley about 20 minutes from time, and that. He just skied it. I don't know how he missed this, but he skied it. That was absolutely going in if he times his volley right. But yeah, the first 20-25 minutes of this game, I think, were some of the best football Atletico have played all season. They were just launching everything at Barca. They were all over them. Just could not find the goal. And after that, he kind of sagged off, let Barca go into the game. PK has that opportunity to go off the bar. Second half was fairly even. Atletico were not nearly as active going forward. I didn't think that they were content with a draw, though.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I thought they weren't conservative. They weren't overwhelmingly liberal, but they weren't too conservative. I think they wanted the win. But, you know, Messi happens. And, you know, we can talk about the winning goal. I believe, Rob, that Thomas Lemar has now set up as many goals for the opposition as he has for Atletico this year.
Yeah, man, it has not been a happy marriage.
This one was pretty much on him.
Yeah.
He had a guy running. I'm trying to remember, recall the figures in this play, but has a guy running alongside him unmarked at the edge of the area. Instead, he tries to loft the ball all the way to the other side of the box. It gets knocked down. Barcelona counter. It ends with Suarez teeing up Messi, who hits those curlers that he's been hitting for 15 years, and Oblak has no chance. So I'm not directly blaming Lima, but I also kind of am, because what the hell are you doing making that pass? What it is,
no,
clearly the wrong decision.
It was not a good pass.
No, it was clearly the wrong choice. And yeah, Lima has kind of replaced Correa as our whipping boy here. He's not good. There is a talented player in there that Simeone just has not unlocked, or Lima has not unlocked for himself. It's becoming clear that there is a lot of strain on this marriage between Lima and Atletico and Simeone.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird thing to begin with. I mean, a creative wide player. I mean, he fit in the sense that he was willing to do what Diego Simeone asked him to do. And clearly Simeone wants it to work out. But despite that, he's just never been able to find any semblance of form, whether that's creating or goal scoring. He hasn't been able to do it. And it's really just been more bad than good at this point. And it's seeming like it's going to a poor end. It's a shame because this team is actually quite young. And I feel positive about it beyond this season. I mean, this season, let's not beat around the bush. It's been a bit of a train wreck. But there are young players in this team that seem like they're going to be here for a little while and that there's a possibility of this team improving. But Lemar, I don't know if he's going to be part of
it. Yeah, he doesn't seem like he's going to be a part of it. And we don't like to have whipping boys here, because you win as a team, you lose as a team. Individual mistakes, they happen. At the end of the day, individual players don't pick up 3 points. Like, there is no FC Messi, it's FC Barcelona. Even though he's incredibly decisive for them, you get my point. It's kind of sad what's happened to Lima. He's had one really good performance in almost 18 months. That was his first game, the UEFA Super Cup against Madrid. And that has summed up his time with Atletico. In getting him to work harder and be more industrious, Simeone has made him a lot more timid. It's not just down to Simeone, but the player himself hasn't been able to regain confidence that we saw him have at Monaco, we saw him have at times in this first season. He's become a very timid player, and you don't spend that kind of money, record-breaking money, on a player of obvious talent and quality to have him fail to take control in pretty much every game he plays. There's cognitive dissonance there, and you know, his future really is up in the air. His performances this year kind of don't lead you to any other conclusion.
Yeah, I agree. It would not shock me at all if he were to leave next summer. I mean, it would be a tremendous loss for Atleti and financially, because, I mean, at worst, it seemed at the time that he was purchased that, you know, if it doesn't work out, we can flip him for a bunch of money. But his value's at an all-time low at this point, so it's not ideal.
Yeah, I wrote about this over the international break, and he could be considered a distressed asset at this point.
Right.
Where, you know, in economic terms, this is an otherwise valuable asset that has been, whose value has really depreciated, and that's kind of where Lema is now. But yeah, very tough for him individually. He came on, he was the second substitute after 72 minutes. He replaced Angel Correa, who, you guessed it, Rob, played on the wing and wasn't all that good. Because he's not a winger. Simeone acknowledges this in press conferences, and he still plays him on the wing.
And it's not only for me that he wasn't good on the wing, but his passing at times today was extraordinarily sloppy. And not even in wide positions, but when he would take up central positions. I can remember one point in the first half when he got the ball and there were two options, one wide on the right and one down the middle, and he picked neither and passed it straight to a Barcelona player.
He picked neither, yes.
It's like, oh my lord.
Well, that will happen.
It will happen.
I don't even blame Correa for this one. Simeone just didn't put him in a very good position. His first half, he made the most of it. His defensive effort, his work rate in the first half, I thought was sensational. He made 3 clearances in this game, believe it or not. For anyone not a defender, that's pretty impressive. But, you know, it's not his best position. And, again, it's just, I'm not saying it's negligence, but having João Félix and Correa in the same team, playing a 4-4-2 with them in the same team, it just does not work. It's not the best system for that personnel.
That AC Milan money's really starting to look nice around about now.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Hindsight. And Correa's been good this year. He's legitimately been good. But being played as a winger and being played out of position effectively in a system that does not suit him, it doesn't get the best out of anyone.
I mean, he didn't really fit this team anymore, especially with João Félix coming in, sort of made the AC Milan deal seem ideal in a lot of ways.
A little tantalizing, yes.
Yeah, but, indeed.
You know.
Another striker would have been nice.
Well, we'll see if Atletico can solve that in January. If we'll try to before.
Come on down, Nico Kalinic.
Oh, God, don't you start.
Welcome home.
This was João Félix's first start since the Valencia game about 6 weeks ago. He had come off the bench against Granada and Juventus. An inconclusive 65 minutes, Rob?
I mean, he had his moments. I think he, obviously the nutmeg on PK and then the delivery for Hermoso were some bright spots. And I think for a player that young, I think this season that sort of summed it up thus far, is that he's had really bright moments, but then there's been long stretches of matches where he's not super involved. And that's okay. But I think he's obviously supremely talented, and he was pissed off that he got taken out of the game. I appreciate that, but you know, I'm okay with his performance today. It's a tough spot for him coming off an injury and starting against Barcelona.
Is that transfer fee that just completely warped expectations, hasn't it?
It's a long-term thing, right, with João Félix.
There were some who, I suppose reasonably, could expect that João Félix was going to be awesome this year, that he was going to slot right into this new Atletico, become the new star. Those people watch too much Kylian Mbappe, I think. Mbappe, we must remember, is the exception, not the rule. This is a guy who is the next Messi. João Félix may not be the next Messi, and that's okay. He doesn't have to be. There's only one of those that come around a generation, and you don't have to be Messi to be one of the best talents of your generation, which João Félix has shown glimmers of what he can be. His first season has been hit or miss. He missed the month with the ankle injury, and that may still be impacting him. But a reason you're seeing Atletico be so careful with him is because this is a major investment. They shattered their transfer fee record to sign him to a 7-year contract. So you need to make sure he is good for next season, and the season after, and the season after that. You're not pinning all your hopes on him being a world beater this season when he just turned 20 years old.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is not a this season thing, and players develop at different rates. Obviously, Kylian Mbappe is the ultimate, and Lionel Messi is the exception to the rule. I'd be interested to see how Kylian Mbappe would have developed if he had moved to Real Madrid rather than moved to PSG. I think that would have been an interesting situation. But even still, it does not concern me the way João Félix has played this year. I think we've seen enough from him that's like, this dude is the real deal. He just needs some time, and let's not get hasty with it here.
The dude is good.
He's real good.
We know this. He's quite good. Players do develop at different rates, and it's not really a shock that he hasn't performed to his capabilities against Juventus, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia getting injured. You know, the biggest games where he doesn't play his best or can't make it through 90 minutes, it's not a shock. You know, not every teenager is Kylian Mbappe. Martin Odegaard, I think, is a pretty decent comparison. Odegaard debuted for Real Madrid at, 16 years old? Signed for them at 16, debuted for them at 16. Went on loan for 2+ years.
And was terrible.
It wasn't really heard from a whole lot. Now he's back in Spain. He's at Real Sociedad. He's about to turn 21. He's been one of the very best players in La Liga this year. Right. At 20 going on 21. Who is to say that will not be João Félix next year?
It just takes time for these guys. And I think his adaptation is something that's perfectly reasonable to expect. If you thought he was going to be Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi right away, then I don't know what to tell you.
I think there are plenty of things to get up in arms with Simeone about. João Félix's play is not one of them.
Correct.
I don't think so. Not saying we're going to ream Simeone, but there are plenty of other things to criticize Simeone for. The 4-4-2 in this particular, well, not in this particular fixture, but with this particular personnel, playing Saul at left back, which honestly, that was not the most egregious thing, playing Saul at left back. I'm not sure I would have trusted Renan Lodi in this game either, going up against Leo Messi.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. And Saul was extremely respectable for a central midfielder playing a left back.
Oh yeah, he was fine. You know, Messi.
Fair play to him. He looked bang average as a left back, which is a huge credit to him.
Bang average, yes. He was fine. He hounded Messi, shouted him as much as he could. Hermoso gave him some help, and Messi decided to win the game, and Messi won the game. So nothing really you can do when he gets in that mindset. You can finish your chances, but Atletico didn't finish them. And Atletico have attempted 32 shots in the past two games against Juventus and Barcelona, two, as we know, elite teams, but only put 4 shots on target in those two games and did not score any goals.
Just really not great attacking players.
The expected goals in this game, 1.19 for Barcelona, 1.16 for Atletico. So, again, another game where Atletico underperformed their expected goals.
Yeah, and it for long spells it felt like a draw was a fair result, but
a loss is not a fair result. for this game.
I wouldn't say so, no.
I don't think it is. But when the other team has Messi and your team doesn't, that can happen. He can change results.
Right. And as can Mateo Lajos, but we won't get into that.
This was not him in his most show-stopping, shall we say.
Not him in his most Mike Dean.
He's had more explosive performances, yes. He did. How many yellow cards did he give out? 6 or 7? He gave out his fair share to both teams.
8, I think.
Yeah, it was 8. He gave out his fair share to both teams, and he let things get physical and then decided, okay, I need to book you for this. So, I thought
was okay. Once again, Mara was turned off for an Atleti match, but, you know, that's sort of how that goes.
Was that a handball on Longley?
Looks like it. I mean, it was close to his body, so that's okay. I'm still more just salty about the whole Vinicius penalty from last season that is repeatedly not called now.
Yeah,
the continuation foul into the box on Correa in the first half. Like, that was the same foul that was given as a penalty in the Real Madrid game last year.
And those are difficult calls that are, for whatever reason, you know, entirely subjective, even though they shouldn't be. That was a weird one. I thought it was inconclusive, and it was inconclusive, but I think closer to being a penalty than not.
I mean, I would say it wasn't a penalty, but when you have the background of the Vinicius one last year was, that's what makes it annoying to me.
Like, I think this was more of a penalty than the one Koke won against Sevilla a while back.
Correct.
So I guess these things even out after some period of time.
There have been a few of those this year.
Yeah. VAR is.
Yeah, I don't think it was a handball. It was close. I think another egregious one was the no second yellow for Gerard Pique.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
That one was rough.
Gerard Pique should not have made it out of this game. He did eventually with a knee injury. But no, if Alvaro Morata doesn't try to hurdle over him, if he just goes down, Pique gets sent off.
Yeah.
And you know Atletico are going to go to Camp Nou later this year and get someone sent off in the first half. You just know that's going to happen, so let's get it out there now. Pique absolutely should have been sent off. Absolutely.
Well, in the interest of fairness, Vitolo probably should have been sent off as well.
It didn't look like it was a bad challenge, and then on the third or fourth replay, you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that one was rough.
maybe that's a yellow card, and he'd already been booked.
I also did love, like, right after Pique should have been sent off, Felipe absolutely blew up somebody for Barcelona. I don't remember who it was, but it was a monster tackle that he got booked for. I did enjoy that a little bit.
Vitolo just, it kind of nicked him, but it got Pique absolutely in the right place.
Yeah, big time.
And who knows if he did a ligament or whatever he may have done. And granted, Atletico probably wouldn't have scored anyway if Barcelona had gone down to 10.
Sure.
Of course, it's this game where Ter Stegen decides to play like a god and Barca's defense decides to burrow and make goal line clearances. Of course, it's this game.
Right, exactly. Atleti had plenty of opportunities to take the lead in this game.
Also, plenty of opportunities to boo Antoine Griezmann that the supporters had. This was the Frenchman's return to a stadium called Wanda. And what did you make of his performance?
Fairly anonymous, I think. I don't think he was super involved. The two shots I recall were the right-footed shot, which sticks in the memory because he didn't do that too often. It was from outside the box that he absolutely hammered.
Yeah, just after the restart.
Right. And then the volley that went way over. It seemed like he was clearly a little bit too jacked up for it on both of those occasions. He just smacked it way too hard, and it was nowhere close to going in.
As we know, Griezmann is a guy who feeds off emotion and feeds off the moment, unlike other players, in that he can get visibly affected by it and visibly jacked up when a lot of other players just stay calm and like let the whistles just kind of roll off their backs. Griezmann is a guy who is very emotional and wears those emotions on his sleeves at all times. And yeah, I think it, as could be expected, I think it did impact him in this game. He had that chance on the volley about 20 plus minutes to go that if he guides it is on goal at least, and maybe even beats Oblak.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, I think Trippier did a good job on him for the most part. Trippier
was good today.
Had a really good game. Yeah. Four key passes, led all players. He takes plenty of risks in attack, but they pay off for the most part. His set-piece delivery was excellent. I'm glad Koke isn't on set-pieces anymore, but Trippier is. That is good.
Dude can cross a ball. If nothing else, he can cross the damn ball.
Yeah, he attempted 12 crosses in this game.
It's what he does.
Koke attempted 9. But Koke was not anywhere near his best level in this game, as we'll get to. But your Trippier was good. And Griezmann, Barcelona didn't really need him to show up considering the result and considering the other guy they have playing, the other guys they have playing in their front three. But Barcelona just aren't at their previous level. We know that. They're still damn good, but they aren't where they used to be. Messi had some issues in this game. His passing accuracy was really low by his standards, only 68%. He was dispossessed a bit. But when he got going, there's no stopping him. There was no stopping him. And he got the winning goal there, which is a really damaging goal on several levels. As far as Atletico's performances go, we talked about the defense, and Hermoso had a really good game. He was the standout for me back there. In midfield, I think this was a really solid game for the Thomas and Héctor Herrera pairing. That's a pairing that shows some promise.
Yeah, Héctor Herrera was real good, as you know he has been all season. Tomas was also good, save for the opportunity when he absolutely should have shot but didn't, but we'll just gloss over that.
I was like, what are you doing? Yeah, I know exactly the moment you're talking about, and he decides to lay off. I think it was for Correa. He decides to lay off, and there's a clear shooting lane. He could drive this right at Ter Stegen, at very least generate a corner, and he doesn't do it. Brilliant.
A corner or a rebound, he should have shot, but yeah.
Usually,
but no, he did really well, as did Héctor Herrera. Both those guys have been great this year.
Yeah, what makes them, I think, a good pairing is that one of them can do the things that the other does. You know, like Herrera can drop deeper and let Thomas just ping passes up and down. Thomas can drop deep, make interceptions, make blocks, while Herrera is obviously has some class going forward. There were moments where he showed his technical quality and his ability to make neat passes, neat moves with other players. It was clearly a panic sub when Cholo took him off for Logi, but at that point, you're 1-0 down. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Bring on Stepanovic or whatever? No, that's not going to work.
Yeah, bring on Marcos Llorente, who has been banished.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's in the hinterlands at this point.
Very, very much so. But at the very least, we saw the good performances from Hermoso and Herrera and Tomas. I think bringing in Logi as a substitute was an interesting idea, but if you're going to want him to impact the game, why not do it earlier? Like, that was a pair of dice that needed to be rolled about 15 minutes earlier.
I think so.
10 minutes earlier. So, one player who really was not impressive in this game and needed to be as the captain was Koke, Rob. Koke, we know he's a weird case because Koke's impact doesn't always show up in the stats. It doesn't always show up via a goal or an assist or a key pass. What Koke does is make tackles, get guys organized, make clearances, keep the ball rolling. Didn't really do any of that on Sunday. And these are the kind of games that, you know, Gabby always showed up in, that Godin always showed up in. They're not the kind of games that Koke has shown up in this year or the previous year or even the previous year. Before that.
It's true. Yeah. It was certainly not his best this season. I mean, at this point, I think it's fair to assume that he's just not going to be a player that's going to directly influence the game, which is, I mean, he is one of the weirdest footballers on a big club out there. I mean, we know how good he is technically, but it's just so understated. It's weird.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really have a hard time wrapping my mind around Koke.
Well, Cholo's not going to drop him.
No.
I'm not necessarily arguing for that. But this is an issue, it has been an issue with Koke as he's gotten older and as his role has kind of changed in some aspects, and others it hasn't really progressed and stayed the same. Koke just isn't nearly as authoritative as he needs to be. Look, Gabby didn't score many goals or get any assists either, but you knew Gabby was going to make about 5 crunching tackles per game. You knew Gabby was going to be involved in just about every single move the opponent made. You knew Diego Godin was going to make huge clearances or score a huge headed goal. What does Koke do in big games? What is he going to do in big games? We don't really know anymore. It used to be Koke would take the killer set piece that would deliver a goal. We don't really know what Koke can do in games against top opposition. He's not really going to conduct play. He's not going to be the metronome. He's not going to drop deep into defense. So what is he going to do?
Yeah.
In these
and
games,
his role in this team is way up in the air.
In these games, you need someone to step up and take control and take it by the scruff of the neck. And that was Atletico's biggest problem on Sunday, is that no one did that. And Barcelona's number 10 did.
As he does, yeah. Yeah.
You count on...
I could have wanted more from a lot of players on the team. But, I mean, I think the players that, you know, did well for themselves weren't the ones that you would have expected to really conduct the tempo for the team, you know.
You kind of expect, or there is an expectation now and in the future, that João Félix will be that guy, but he's not quite ready yet. And that's not, it's not a ding on him. He's 20 years old.
And Morata was fine, I guess.
And Morata had a bunch of shots, but as we've said, and as is now evident, Atletico need his goals extremely badly. Since the international break, the only goal Atletico have scored came from a fullback.
Not a good look.
No. They need his goals now more than ever. And
I mean, this team needs goals in a desperate way.
From somewhere.
Yes, anywhere, please.
Really. Preferably from Morata, your number 9, who's leading the line and cost you a ton of money.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's been solid this season. I mean, someone else would also do well to help him out a little bit.
Yeah, linking the midfield to the attack.
Yeah.
That's, like, been a long-term need.
True.
For Atletico.